So, Paul Tonko, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, has said he wants to impose the Buffett rule, otherwise known by our Ray Graff as the Buffet rule, meaning that the richest people amongst us, the people who run the hedge funds and who have capital gains, who pay so little in taxes. As Buffett said, you know, my secretary is in a higher tax bracket than I am.
Right.
So I think this resonates with the American people. I certainly know that for those of us on a W-2 form, we pay, there really is no way out. The only thing you get to deduct is your home mortgage, and there's been talk about taking that away and money that you might want to give to a not-for-profit.
It's a troubling concern, and let me tell you why. So many of the visits, and we have tons of visits here in the district offices and in Washington. A lot of people do fly-ins. There are theme days where people come into Washington on all sorts of issues. And the scenario is like, it's so repeated where they'll walk in hat in hand and say, I know there's no money, but... And then they'll go on to give you their concern about a very justified program that empowers people and enables people to have a better, fuller life. And I said, hold it. We're not going to beg here. This is a justified cause. And all people do now is talk about the lack of opportunity, but they just want you to know that it's a program that's good, but it's hurting and it's probably going to be discontinued. I'm thinking, well, that shouldn't be the end of the story. The story is, let's address the investments, but we also look at the revenues that are required. And the revenue situation has been impacted by not having people pull their fair share. And your question alludes to that. It talks about the unfairness, the injustice of not having a strong, thriving middle class. And to me, this campaign is about reigniting the American dream. And you reignite the American dream by investing in small business that has forever been the pulse of American enterprise. You invest in entrepreneurs who are the dreamers out there, who are the movers and shakers and the builders of our society and the world, I might add. And then you have a thriving middle class. Those three legs on the stool are important. And that thriving middle class, I think, is an essential fundamental piece of a thriving democracy, too. And you go to any democracy that's really functioning well out there, and they will have a thriving middle class. And what we've done is passed on all of the fiscal responsibility onto this audience that's very large, but of modest income. And they've been asked to pay an inordinate amount of monies for their stake in the American dream. That is wrong. And when people wanted to defend this process of the Bush tax cuts being continued, they referenced that 1%, 2% as the job creators. Well, we lost 8.2 million jobs with all the cuts that were initiated for the upper strata. And they saw their growth in income rise by some 275%. And concurrently, the middle incomes, the middle class, the working class, saw their incomes rise very, very slightly, if not stay flat or even dip south.
But it all comes down to trickle down, as they always say.
Well, the trickle down didn't happen.
Yeah, but if you say it enough, you tell a big lie enough, somebody's going to believe it. I saw Paul Ryan, your colleague, head of the budget committee, just the other day, saying if we start to charge people a larger amount, then people will not invest in the American economy. I say BS to that. But there are always people who believe that stuff.
I think they do, because if you say it, you know, it's very commonplace for a number of these people who want to prolong this unfair policy to just resort to a soundbite. And in a busy world like we live in, that seems to work oftentimes. But I hope that this is about academics this year. I hope that we keep talking about the unfairness, how middle class America has been asked to pay, not only in income tax burden, as was highlighted in your comment about the Buffet rule, the Buffett rule. But it's also highlighted in the trickle down. And the trickle down that occurs is the payment for government programs that are essential for many. And it comes into a property tax formula. And so people who are living paycheck to paycheck, those who may be on a fixed income, living in a household that doesn't measure whether you're employed, whether 10 people live there, or whether one person lives there, it doesn't have any of those calculations. And it just is an unfair burden that has been placed on the American dream.
Now, why, Paul Tunko, why in the world would the middle class fall for this? Because after all, it's the middle class that put the Republicans in charge.
You know, it's somewhat mind-boggling to me, but everybody must be thinking now that someday they're going to be a millionaire or a billionaire.
That's what
Look,
it is.
I have no problems with people rolling up their sleeves, going to work and being successful and making millions and billions. But there's also a number of people in that community who have said, look, I'm doing very well. Ask me to pay my fair share. So even within that community, there are those who have a social conscience. And I think that we have to be realistic there because it doesn't continue. Even if you're perched on top, it's an unsustainable outcome if you just keep reducing the liability, the tax requirement, responsibility of the upper strata. They need someone to buy their product, and they need someone to build their products. So you need to invest in education and higher education and job training programs. And for us to be cutting education and weakening the workforce of the future is wrong. You know, we have witnessed with our roundtable discussions in the 21st Congressional District what's really happening out there in the manufacturing world. We walked away from manufacturing in the last decade or two. We walked away from agriculture as sectors of the economy, and we looked at only the service sector and primarily there in a more narrow way, the financial services. And we know what happened there. We turned our heads to regulation, less oversight, and the economy fell apart. So there's a lot of fixing to do. History should speak to us here. Data that are assembled ought to tell us it didn't work. Don't keep doing the crazy old thing because it's not working. Go and reformulate. Look what happened in the Clinton years. You had higher rates on some of these individuals and organizations, and we did better. We had record growth in the economy, in job creation. And you want to solve the deficit? Put people to work. Grow the tax base. Give people the opportunity to enjoy that dignity of work. And there's a lot of work to get done. There's a lot of public projects that need to be done. I see it within the 21st Congressional District. Improvements from the flood that need to be done. And we're going to be struggling as we go step to step with a hat in hand sentiment where people don't believe that they have a right to ask for a certain bit of this programming. And this programming is to educate their children, heal their sick, and put a roof over people's heads. To me, that's a caring society. That's a caring lot.
Well, I believe this, Paul Tunko, but I also, and I don't mind paying my taxes. Believe me, I don't. And we just got whacked hard. But I do think of those $2 billion submarines that we really don't need.
Well, you know, there and again, the Ryan budget, I believe, adds more money for the defense. And well, look, we can't afford, we're exhausting our military. We can't afford to have these prolonged involvements in Afghanistan or, you know, the whole situation in Iraq that really drained us. We cannot afford to continue to go forward without recalculating how we're using our military force for the efforts of peace. And the domestic agenda is requiring our assistance. You can't be strong and can't be helpful for the rest of the world if you don't take care of your own first. And we need to strengthen our commitment to education, to higher education, research. Research equals jobs. I saw it from NYSERDA when I was there as president and CEO at the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, that not all success stories come out of research, but a lot of success stories do, and that translates into jobs. And it's all about growing the economy by adding jobs through a public sector, private sector partnership, and making certain that we go forward and repair our infrastructure. And not just the traditional roads and bridges, but talking about communications, wiring of our neighborhoods and remote areas, and our grid system for our electric utilities.
Paul Tunko, we love it when you come by and you talk to us. You make so much sense to me. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.